We're going to learn Daf Yud Gimel Masechtas Nedarim. I think the place really to start is the last few lines on the bottom of Yud Beis and Beis, which we did last time, but it's okay to go back and chazer it's just a couple lines, so I think we'll go through the sugya properly. So the question that the Gemara is dealing with primarily on Daf Yud Beis is, when a person, as we know, there's a concept by an eder that you're matvis bedover, meaning I want to make a new object usur, and the way to make it usur is to compare it or attach it to something that's already usur. So there are certain rules that we already discussed, and we're going to continue to discuss the idea, the difference between something a neder and something that's usur, that's intrinsically usur. So a neder has to be on something that you made into a neder. Okay, that's not really the focus right now. The focus right now is, so now we're dealing with a situation where the Gemara's question is, if you have something that was originally made into a neder and it's usur, which is perfectly legit, and then it then gets a heter. And the example that the Gemara gives is if you have a carbon shlomim, which it could be any carbon for that matter, but the carbon shlomim is the easiest example, where it was as a carbon shlomim, it's hektish and therefore usur, and you could use that as the base for your neder. But then eventually you do the zrika, and the people can go ahead and take the meat home, and the meat becomes, so to speak, mutter, because it's available for anybody to eat. So then the question is, if I make the neder today, after the zrika's dam, am I focusing on the heter part of it, which therefore makes my neder not really relevant? Or am I focusing on the main part of it, which is, of course, if I'm referring to it as a carbon, then I'm referring to the carbon aspect of it and the hektish part of it, and therefore my neder is also compared to the hektish part of it. Now, remember, the point over here that the Gemara is making is the question that the Gemara is discussing is specifically after it already became mutter. So since it already became mutter, the question is, do I mean to attach it to now, as we stand today, or am I dealing with the main thing, which is as a carbon shlomim? And as a carbon shlomim, of course, there's a more serious part of it, and that's what I would probably be making my neder on. So the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis went back and forth, tried to bring a raya, could not at the end bring a raya. So ultimately, the Gemara now says, and we're going to start from five lines on the bottom, from the bottom on Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi, let us say that this concept of whether I mean the main part of it versus the today part of it, where we stand today and it's mutter, is really a machloikis tanoim, because we have a braisa. It says, hare alai kebechor. So somebody says, I want my object to be like a din bechor. Now, a bechor is actually somewhat like a carbon shlomim in the sense that you originally donated to the Beis HaMikdash, however, or to the kohanim, and then the kohanim bring it as a carbon, and then the kohanim get to take it home. So the question is, which part of that carbon am I comparing it to? Rav Yaakov Oyser. Rav Yaakov says that's a legitimate neder, and the object that I'm trying to make also becomes oyser. Rav Yehuda Matir. Rav Yehuda says no, it's going to be mutter. Okay, so that's the halacha, that's the brice. Now the Gemara is going to try to figure out what exactly is the case and does it compare to our issue. So hechi dami. What was the case over there? Inema, if the case was lifnei zrikas damim, that before the kohen did zrika on the mizbeach, and it's a regular bechor and it's still hektish, my time the mandashari. So then what would be the explanation to the mandiyama that says that it's totally mutter? Because of course, the bechor is like any other carbon, it's a carbon right now, and I'm comparing it to the isser carbon. My object should be just as usser. V'ilach zrikas damim, and if we're talking about after you did the zrika and it's totally mutter and that's what I'm trying to compare it to, my time demanda osir. What would be the explanation of the mandiyama that says it's osir? Again, I'm being matvisit. I'm comparing it to something that's totally mutter. El alav. So the Gemara says, and that takes us to the top of Yud Gimel Omer Aleph. Demachis baser bechor umachis baser dehech. That gabe. That what happened was you had a piece of bechor meat, which is if you have the meat, that means it's already after the zrika. You're taking it home, and now you bring another random piece of meat next to it. And you say, I want my piece of meat to be like this piece of meat. So that becomes a situation, exactly the same situation that we were discussing all along on Daf Yud Beis, whereas right now the bechor is totally mutter. Right now the bechor is totally mutter because that it's already after the Zrika. On the other hand, it's really part of Bechor, so when I'm comparing it, what am I comparing? I really mean to compare it to the main thing, to the fact that it's a carbon. And this seems to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda. One says it's mutter, one says it's asur. Okay, so that's exactly our shaila, and it's a machlokes tanoi. The Tanoi, as the Gemara says, so therefore we see that it's a machlokes Tanoim exactly on this point. What do I mean? Do I mean the main point, or do I mean the current matter where it is right now, and therefore it'll be totally mutter? To which the Gemara responds, Loi, that's not true. This is not the same machlokes. The Kulei Amalif Nesrikas Domim. Everybody agrees that the situation over here has to be talking about that it's even before the Zrika, which means that the carbon is in status of Hektish. It hasn't done the Zrika yet, so it's totally Hektish and it's totally Osir. Oh, so my time of the Mandashari, so then what would be the explanation to the Mandiyama that says it's Mutter? We're dealing with a carbon that's totally Osir. So here the Gemara says it's based on a drosh and a pasuk specifically and uniquely to Bechor, which before we go through the back and forth of what the psukim say, the point is that if that's what we're talking about, that it's unique to Bechor, then it has nothing to do with our question as to whether I meant the main or I meant the current status of the animal. Okay, so again, so the Gemara now is going to divert to what is unique about Bechor and how we dash in the pasuk about Bechor, but the point is we are not answering our question. Our main big question over here is, do I mean today or do I mean the carbon in general? Okay, but let's go to what's unique about Bechor. Amar Kro, because the pasuk says, Ki Yidor. It says that I have to make a neder, which of course is a regular pasuk, but it says, Ad sheyidor bedover hanodor, la'afuke bechor dedover ha'osur hu. So the problem is like this, that we, as we discussed before, that anytime you make a neder and you want to be matzis, you want to compare it to something, you have to compare it to something that I created or that was created as a neder, that the isur on it in the first place was because I created the isur. Like a typical standard carbon, a standard carbon shlomim, it's a regular animal grazing in my pen, and then I point to that animal and I say, no, I want that animal to be hektish. Now, that was a regular animal. The only reason it has the din of hektish is because I created it and I put that extra level of hektish. So that's a davar hanodar. I created that iser. So therefore, I can compare something else to it, which I also am creating the iser, as opposed to something which is intrinsically usr, and I didn't create the iser, the Torah created the iser. Well, if the Torah created the iser, the Torah picked specifically what it wants to be usr, so I can't compare my random object, my piece of meat, or my object, whatever it may be, to this thing that the Torah already designated as usr. That's the rule when it comes to neder. So therefore, Bechor technically falls into the category of davar ha'asur, because it's the Bechor is really hektish mimei imai. The moment the firstborn zohar animal is born from this animal, it automatically has to be brought as a carbon. So that's not something that I created the Isser, it's something that the Torah created the Isser. And once again, if the Torah created the Isser, it's not something that I can use as a base for my neder. Okay, so that's very good. That explains the Mandiyama that says that why it's mutter, because it's not a davar another. However, the problem is we see that there's a machlokes. There must be another version of this story. So the Gemara says, Uman da osar, amakro, he has a different pasuk. La Hashem, the pasuk says, anything that I donate to Hashem, l'rabbis davar ha'osar, it means anything that's osar. Now, it doesn't mean, just the Mepharshim explained, it doesn't mean anything that's davar ha'osar, because obviously there's no machlokes about, as we'll see the list in the Mishnah, those things that are intrinsically also like Avodah Zarah or I don't know, or Basar Chazir, those things, and there's no machlokes about those type of items that they're for sure a davar asur and they're not something I can use in my neder. So over here it's a davar asur, l'rabbah is davar asur, it means something that's asur, but the isur was created in some way because of me. And now the Gemara is going to explain. So let's go back and forth over here. Man d'shari, if there's a pasuk that says we're including davar asur like the Bechor, so man d'shari la Hashem ayavidle, what does he do with this pasuk? Because this pasuk should include the Bechor. So he says, no, I need it for something else. Mi boy lei lematves bechatas va'oshem. It's coming to tell us that a korbechatas and an oshem, that also is a davar asur once I donated it. Once I donate it to Hashem, it becomes asur to Hashem. And therefore, those are the type of korbanos that I could use to be the base of my neder. So the problem is, we have a back and forth over here. We have, is this a davar osur? Is not a davar osur? So the Gemara asks, "My roi is the rabbis chatas for oshum and lohoiti as a bechor." What's the difference between a chatas and an oshum versus a bechor? They're both, now that I made them hektish, they're going to be hektish. So the Gemara says no, because the process is very different. Marba ani chatas for oshum shehu matvis b'neder. The chatas and the oshum are only a chatas. That animal is only a chatas or an oshum, as the case may be, only because I said so. Even though I have a chiv, as the Ron pointed out, I have a chiv. I did an aveira, and as one who did an aveira, I have an obligation to bring a korban. But I picked which animal. This animal itself, again, was grazing in my backyard yesterday. This animal is totally mutter. I picked that animal. I created the isser on that animal. Therefore, it's something that I or was created isser. As opposed to a bechor, I'm not choosing which animal it is. It is by virtue of the fact that that animal was born. It had nothing to do with me. The fact is that animal was born into Kedusha. And therefore has nothing to do with me. That's why the pasuk never comes to include that specific type of korban and that specific animal to be the basis. It's not my creation. It's the Torah's creation that it's going to be osur. So again, what's the explanation to the Mandi Omer that says that it is considered I made the neder? Umanda osar b'chor. The Manda Osra, and the Manda Yama that says it's Osra, he says, Bechor Nami Matvisa Ben Ederhu. He says, no, a Bechor also is something where I am involved in making the Isser. How is that? The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, there's a very interesting halacha. Mishum Rebbe Yoimer, Rebbe taught us, Amru, they say, Minayin Lenoilid Bechor Betoich Besoy. How do you know that when an animal, a Bechor, is born in your house, Shemitzvah Lahakdishoy, that it is incumbent upon the owner of the animal to make it hektish? Shenemar, he zocher taktish. It says that if it's a male, you must be makdish it. So we see very clearly that you are involved in the process. You have to make it hektish. So once you have to make it hektish, so now that's considered something that I made the neder. So we see, therefore, Bechor is no different, and that's why it can be used as the base of anything else that I want to make osur as well. Okay, so what's the explanation the other way around? Umanda shari, and the Mandi Yama that says, no, this doesn't count because it's a davar asur. Ki loy makdish lay. If I didn't decide to make it hektish, I never said it's hektish. Mi loy mikdish, isn't it going to be hektish anyway? The reality is, so this is a very interesting situation. The reality is that it is going to be hektish anyway. It's going to be hektish anyway. The Torah said this animal, in this condition, when it's born, it's going to be a bechor. That's the way it is. However, the Torah added an extra element, an extra opportunity, if you want to call it that, an opportunity for me to be part of the process, and I can make it hektish also. So here's why there's a machlekes, because it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. On the one hand, it is hektish anyway, so I have nothing to do with it. On the other hand, I'm part of the process, because Hashem let me be part of the process. So how do you view that part of the process? Am I really doing something, or am I not really doing something? Is that considered my input? Is my input, therefore, since it has my input, therefore it's a davar another or not? And that's exactly the machlekes between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sure there's a deeper way to explain it, but that's the basics. So therefore, the point is that by Bechor, it's based on these drushes of the pasuk. How do we view this? Do we view it as a davar another, davar aser? But if clearly, if it's a davar aser, it's not in the category of something that you can make it based on a neder. You can use for the basis of a neder. But if it's a davar hanader, if it is considered something, again, depends what shita you hold, but if it is considered something that I was part of the process of making it neder, making it aser, so then I could use it as the base. But, okay, the bottom line here is, at the end, we're now at the end of this sugya. The bottom line is, we never really answered the question, when I have something which is currently mutter, that was originally usser, do I mean, when I compare it now, where in its status now, do I focus specifically on what it is now, which is mutter, which means my neder is not really valid in any way? Or do I focus on what it was originally in its heyday, so to speak, when it was in its glory as a hektish and usser? Is that what I mean to focus on? So interestingly, the Ran quotes the Ramban and brings the halacha that since the Gemara never answered this question, at the end of the day, even Bechor wasn't was a different issue. and not the issue of whether we look at now or the big picture. The Ramban paskins la halacha that it's, I'm being matvis bedover hamutter, and the neder will not be chal. Very interesting. I was a little bit surprised to see the Ramban say that, but that, I mean, because I would have expected, based on what the Ran said earlier in the Masechta, that by Nedarim we always go to Chumro, and over here, the Ramban is paskening that we, since it's, and again, the Ramban brings rayas to what he's saying, so he, but he does say that at the end of the day, since the Gemara's never pushed it to Shiloh, if right now, today, it's Mutter, then that's, I'm looking at it, and this is what I'm comparing it to an object that is mutter, and therefore the Ramban Paskins Lahalocha is going to be mutter, and it's not going to work as the base for making a proper neder. But that is the end of that Shaila in the Gemara. So, the Gemara now continues with the next part of the previous Mishnah, which is Ke'imra Kadiru. The Mishnah, as you recall, had a list of various objects that, if you mean the animal or the area that they graze in, and these are animals that are eventually going to be hektish, so they say that yes, these are a good source for the making a neder. Okay, now the focus over here is, especially the way the Ran learns the Gemara, focuses the fact that we say ki imra and ki dirim, like, that we're comparing my new objects, like, comparable to the thing that is usur, it means, because we're really trying to compare it to the fact that it's going to be a carbon. So, on that note, the Gemara continues. Tana, we learned like this. Imra, le imra, ke imra. So now we're going to bring all the various examples that the Mishnah brought and the different ways we can phrase the base of the neder. So it's easy to read. Imra, le imra, ke imra. Whether I say just the word itself, le imra, ke imra. Dirim, le dirim, ke dirim, which is the pen. Eitzim, le eitzim, ke eitzim. Again, each one of them is just a different way of pronouncing them. Ishim, the fires on the Mizbeach, le ishim, ki ishim, like the fires on the Mizbeach. Mizbeach, the word Mizbeach, le Mizbeach, ke Mizbeach. Hechol, la hechol, ke hechol, the hechol of the Beis HaMikdash. And lastly, Yerushalayim, le Yerushalayim, ki Yerushalayim. So, all of those, no matter how I phrased the sentence, kulin sha'oichol lecha aser. In all of those cases, if I say that I'm going, if I say, Yerushalayim sha'oichalacha, or li Yerushalayim sha'oichalacha, or ki Yerushalayim sha'oichalacha. In any way, I start the sentence with any way of these lashonos, all it's going to be aser. Why? Because what I'm saying is that I want it to be on the level of a carbon. I want it to be on the level of kedusha that has iser, and therefore that what I'm going to feed to you, so that item that I'm going to feed to you now has that level of iser, and I can't, it's a regular neder. However, the interesting part is lo yoichalacha mutter. But if I say all those same examples, and I say I'm not going to give it to you, then it's going to be mutter. Why? Because the understanding is, what I'm saying is, it's Yerushalayim, I'm not feeding it to you, but what I am feeding you is not Yerushalayim. So, because the thing, if the thing is usur like Yerushalayim, that's why I'm not giving it, I'm not giving you that, but rather I'm going to give you something that's not like Yerushalayim. So it's like a double negative, so to speak, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay, now the Gemara is going to figure this out. Why is that true? Man shaman lei, man shamin and lei, deloy shana lei imra le imra ke imra. Who is the man de yomer that says it doesn't matter how you pronounce the original word itself? Reb Meir he. So it's Shita's Reb Meir. The problem is emo seifa. But the problem is the end of that Mishnah said v'kulam lo yoichal lecha mutter. But we just said 2 seconds ago that it's only because it said sha'oichal lecha that it's also. But if I say lo yoichal lecha, it's going to be mutter. Now, the problem is v'atanam, but we have a very Mishnah that Reb Meir holds not like that. It says la korban lo yoichal lecha, right? That's the case. Lo yoichal is the same. Lo yoichal lecha. And here I'm using the word of korban. Reb Meir oiser. And there all of a sudden Reb Meir says it's going to be oser. The Omar Rebbe Abba. Now we don't understand why Reb Meir, how does that fit into Reb Meir's shita? So we have an explanation. The Omar Rebbe Abba, and Rebbe Abba explains in that example of la korban lo yoichal lecha, because nasa la ka'omer, because the way you have to read that sentence is the following. La korban yehe. When I say la korban, I mean this item should be a korban. Lefichach, therefore lo yoichal lecha. I'm not going to give it to you. Because it is a carbon, I'm not saying it's not a carbon, I'm not giving it to you, so what I am giving it to you is not a carbon. or what I'm giving to you is not a carbon. I'm not saying that, but rather the way to read it is, since it's a carbon, therefore I'm not giving it to you. So if so, then we should read all these other cases, Yerushalayim, Kiryat Yerushalayim, also we should read them lo yachol lecha the same way. Since it's like Yerushalayim, therefore I'm not giving it to you. And the conclusion, the halacha should be it's aser. And it's very clear in the Mishnah that it's mutter. So how do we explain the difference? So the Gemara answers, like kasha, hoda amar loy imra take out, or lo imra, depends on which gears in the Gemara you have, and the Ran brings both gearsois, but let's read it the way we have it printed in our Gemara. Hada omar loy imra, take out the lamed before the imra. Hada omar le imra. So it depends on how I actually said it. So if I said it lo imra, then what I'm saying is, it is an imra, it is a sheep which is a carbon, and therefore, I can't give it to you. In that case, and a Hanami, Rav Meir will say, that's the case, that's aser. Again, just like la carbon means it is a carbon, therefore I can't give it to you. So la imra will mean the same thing, that it is a sheep for a carbon, therefore I can't give it to you. And even Rav Meir will agree that it's going to be aser. As opposed to when I say loy imra, then it's not a carbon, not that it is a carbon, but just the opposite. It's not a carbon, therefore I'm not giving it to you. That requires a double negative. The double negative, as we'll see in a moment, where Meir Shita is that it doesn't work. So it's not. You can't say it's not this and therefore I'm not doing that, and therefore put it together. But if I would do it, it would be that kind of conjunction. Okay, so putting it together in that kind of way, Reb Meir would take a hold its usher. So it comes out that a very interesting, very subtle difference. Even though when I say the words, it almost sounds identical, loy imra versus la imra, it's really close. But it really depends on what I say. La imra means, and the other pshat, by the way, whether you have the lamed in there or not, the Ran says is even more subtle. It's the difference between a pasach and a shvo. In other words, do I pronounce it la imra or la imra? La or la? La means no, means it's not. La means it should be. Depends on, so a diktuk, for those people who are into the diktuk, the shvo and the pasach make a difference in what the word actually means. In any event, the bottom line is, if I'm saying it's not this, then I'm not eating, that's not a sentence that Rav Meir holds as a neder. Whereas if I say it is that, therefore I'm not feeding it to you, that is a sentence that Rav Meir can adjust to, and it is going to be considered a neder. Okay, so that's the conclusion. But therefore, our Mishnah, the bottom line is, our Mishnah could be Rishita's Rav Meir. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it, as long as you say it all as one word. As long as you don't insert the word loy, whatever, loy imra, loy dirim, or something like that, then in those cases would not work if you say loy oichalucha. Now, if I say shaoichalucha, then of course it does work. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. It's la imra and whatever the examples are that I'm not feeding, that I'm going to give you, it is usr, so therefore of course that's a regular nether. Okay, that takes us to the next Mishnah. Here we go. Ha'omer korban oilo. So now he's going to give a few examples of korbanos. They're all the same. Somebody says, I want it to be a korban oilo, mincha, chatos, toida, ushlomim. All those different variations of different korbanos. Shani oichalucha. Again, this is similar to what we just said a moment ago. Shani oichalucha aser. Again, if I call it a carbon, and what I would give you would be a carbon, what I'm basically saying is I'm feeding you iser. So if I'm feeding you iser, of course I can't give it to you, and therefore it's a regular neder. However, the chiddush over here is Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah continues and says Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda says because the problem over here is that I didn't say kick carbon. This is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda that I can't. It's not a carbon. When I'm making my neder and I'm saying my gemara, my object, my item is a carbon, that's not true. I'm not trying to make my gemara into a carbon. I'm trying to say that it should have the same iser as a carbon. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that's an intrinsic failure in how to say, make a neder. So therefore, in these cases, not that there's anything wrong with the example, but it's the way I said it. That's a problem. And Rabbi Yehuda therefore holds it's mutter. Continuing in the Mishnah then goes back and says, Ha korban, ki korban, or korban, she'oichu l'cho osur. So again, focusing on how I pronounce it, the Tanakhama is going back to the same Shito. But all those kids, doesn't matter how I pronounce it. If I say I'm going to feed it to you, it's going to be osur. Okay, because I'm saying I'm feeding you Isser, so of course it's going to be Asser. And then the Gemara continues and says, La Karban Loy Oicha Lucha Reb Meir Oisa. This is the famous Shitas Reb Meir that we just quoted in the Gemara right before the Mishnah. It says, La Karban Loy Oicha Lucha. Again, it's not Loy Karban, it's La Karban. Since it is a Karban, I will not feed it to you. Therefore, Reb Meir says Oisa. Okay, that's how we just read. We just got the explanation. Usually we learn the Mishnah first and then the explanation. It just happens to be in this Gemara, the explanation is right before the Mishnah because it comes up in the other context. In any event, this is the quote from the Mishnah that the Gemara was bringing. Okay. All right, let's go back and take apart this Mishnah a little bit. So the Gemara continues, says, Ketani, korban, ha korban, ka korban, sha'oicha lucha osur. Okay, very good. Since it's a korban that I would give you to eat, it's going to be osur because I'm saying it's osur. So, stoma tanuk Reb Meir. So that means, again, we're following Shitas Reb Meir, deloy shani le ben imro lo imro. Like we just said, this is, by the way, perfectly consistent with the Gemara that we just learned right before the Mishnah. The Reb Meir Shita is, it doesn't matter how I pronounce the Isser, whether I say lo imra, ki imra, imra, whether I add these any prefixes to it, it's not going to make a difference. Reb Meir Shita is, if it's Osir, it's Osir, and therefore it's a nether. However, the problem is, Reb Meir, if we're going to say this, our Mishnah Shita is Reb Meir, hadik tani ha-korban sha'oicha lecha Osir. One of the cases is, in the next line in the Mishnah is, a korban she'oichel lecha is also aser. That's what the aser. Va'atanya, and here we have a straight out contradiction. Va'atanya, we learned in a brisa. Moedin chachamim. Now, when we said the chachamim obviously represent Shitas Reb Meir, or as the Ron points out, very interesting, that it really doesn't necessarily. It's not a kash on Reb Meir. It's not unique to Reb Meir. It could have been any mandi yomar and any other mandi yomar that's the chachamim. So it says Chachamim Chachamim Lir Reb Yehuda to Reb Yehuda, but Oimer Ha Korban Vaha Oilo. Again, it's all just various examples of the same thing. That's Ha Korban Vaha Oilo Vaha Mincha Vaha Chatos Sheoichel Chashemoter. So Reb Yehuda, that now Reb Yehuda clearly holds Ha Korban is going to be Mutter, but the problem is that the Chachamim are Moide, and they also hold that Ha Korban is Mutter Sheloi Noder Ze Ela Bechaye Korban. When I say ha carbon, the carbon, so I'm not focused on the fact that it is a carbon, I'm focused more on the animal. And the animal is alive, so I'm really focusing on the life of the animal. Like, you know, people say, I swear my mother's life, or something like that. So this is also, I'm focusing on the life of the animal. Now, the life of the animal has no isser. There's nothing usser about the life of the animal. So therefore, everybody seems to agree that it is totally mutter. So again, what's pshat in Reb Meir in our example? Because Reb Meir says, fine, I see that Reb Meir doesn't make a difference between this and this, that pronunciation and this pronunciation. But HaKorban specifically is an example of something where we say that it's a mutter nether. That it's a totally mutter nether. Because you said HaKorban. It's the life of the animal. So now that takes us to the top of your Gimel on the base. Gemara says, Loi Kasha. Again, we make a very subtle difference, but that subtle difference makes all the difference in the world. Hada omer ha carbon, I say it as a separate word. For hada omer ha carbon, or even with the shva ha carbon. Now, why? What's the difference between whether I say it as a separate word or I say it as, so to speak, just part of the word itself? My taima chai carbon ka omer, as we just explained. When I say ha carbon, I mean the life of the carbon, ha in the intrinsic part of the carbon, meaning I'm not focusing on the carbon aspect of it, on the hektish aspect of it. I'm focused more on the animal. The animal is the element of the carbon. If we're focused on the animal of the carbon, the animal has a life. So I'm saying something totally different. So once again, the whole difference is whether we add an extra aleph over here and say it as a separate word, even though when I say it, it literally sounds the same. Ha carbon versus ha carbon. So it sounds really incredibly similar, but it means it happens to have two different meanings. So when I say ha carbon, when I say it as one word, what I mean to say is the carbon, it is a carbon, and therefore it is usr. So now that's going to be usr. Sha'ichol, it's going to be usr. Whereas I say ha carbon, it is the carbon itself, meaning the animal itself. The animal itself is the life of the animal. The life of the animal is not something that's usur, and that's therefore something that I cannot use for a nether. So the bottom line is, it's all Reb Meir, and it's just a matter of what I said. You have to be really very careful. Again, these nuances don't really sit well with us because we don't appreciate what the difference is and the way people talk and what they mean. So, because we don't speak this language, we don't have these meanings, these subtleties. But you know, like in any language, a little pronunciation like this and a little pronunciation like that could make a difference in the language when you know it very well. And that's the Gemara is telling us, that's the difference between ha carbon versus ha carbon. Okay, now as we continue, the Gemara says ketani la carbon loyoichalucha Reb Meir oyser. So once again, the Gemara is going to go through the same issue. Even though we just discussed it before the Mishnah, we're going to discuss it we're going to now define the Mishnah itself. The problem is, again, remember we just said this whole Mishnah is Shitas Reb Meir. Okay, no problem. But let's see if this is consistent. It says, La carbon loyoichalucha Reb Meir oyser. That's a quote from our Mishnah. If it is a carbon, I'm not going to feed it to you. Now, the way we would normally read this is, if it is a carbon, I'm not going to feed it to you. Therefore, it's not a carbon that I'm not going to that I am going to feed to you. That's the way we'd read it. So why is it usur? Again, the double negative would be, it's not a carbon that I am going to feed to you. Okay, so if it's not a carbon, it's totally mutter. What's the problem? So why does Reb Meir hold its usur? The problem is, Reb Meir doesn't hold of this double negative issue, and therefore it should be a carbon, what I'm feeding to you is a carbon. Okay, so how do we explain this? So this is where the Gemara said that famous line, Amar Reb Abba, Nasa Ka'oimer, it's as if you said, La carbon Yehei. What I'm saying is, it is a carbon. That's why I'm not feeding it to you. In other words, this is not a sentence where Reb Meir would interpret the negatives to say, but if it is a carbon, then I'm not giving it to you. So when it's not a carbon, I am giving to you. The whole interpretation, so to speak, of what don't put words into my mouth. Reb Meir is saying, no, I mean exactly what I'm saying. La carbon, it should be a carbon, i.e. it should be usur. Therefore, lo yochalucha, that's why I'm not feeding it to you. And that's why it's going to be usur. So it's not the, and again, don't make the diik. Don't imply, if I say loy, so I mean yeah. We're not looking for the opposite over here. We're looking for what I said. I said it's a carbon, and that's why I'm not giving it to you, and that's why it's going to be usur. Again, we just quoted this Gemara before the Mishnah also to explain the previous Mishnah as well. It's all the same. It's all consistent with what we're saying. All shitas Reb Meir. The last Mishnah of the Perek says as follows. Again, koinim is a lashon that we're familiar with. It's instead of saying karbon, I say the word koinim. And I say, koinim pi medaber imcha. I want to aser the mouth that is talking to you. Yodai oise imcha, or my hands from doing anything for you, giving you any, I'm not going to work for you. And ragli mahalechas imcha, and my feet to go to walk with you or go to walk to you, usur. In all of those cases, it's going to be usur. Okay, so fine. So I could usur. Well, I'm by saying it this way, I'm really already adding the explanation of the Gemara. But basically, the Mishnah is saying I can usur my mouth, my hands, and my feet from doing something. Therefore, and it's going to be a proper neder. Now, the way I just explained the Mishnah is going to make the Gemara's question a little bit more difficult because I already, so to speak, read the Mishnah with the Gemara's teretz. But now let's read it as a kasha, and then we'll see what was bothering the Gemara. V'raiminu al esu asira chomer b'shvuas min b'nedarim. There are certain elements and certain attributes of a shvua that come out more chomer, more stringent than by a neder. U'b'nedarim min b'shvuas, and the other way around also, there are certain elements of nedarim that are more chomer than shvuas. And now we explain. Chomer b'nedarim. Nedarim has extra chomros. Sh'anedarim chalin al ha-mitzvah kibirushus. That I can make a neder even on something that's already it's already a mitzvah. Just like I can do it on a reshus, on something that independent that I want to do on my own. Mashenkin b'shvuah, as opposed to a shvuah, because we hold that anything that's already a mitzvah in the Torah, it's mushmo va'oimid mehar Sinai. That's the lashon of the Gemara. That it's already, the Torah already placed on it a shvuah to create the Isser, to obligate you to do what you're going to do. So the Torah already said, you have to pick up a luluf and an esrig on Sukkos. So then when you say, I swear I'm going to pick up a luluf and an esrig, your shvuah is nothing. Because you're not picking up the luluf and esrig because you swore. You already swore when the Torah said you're going to pick up the luluf and the esrig. Shvuah is nachal. As opposed to a neder, which we already learned earlier in the parak, that a neder, I could make a neder on something that's already also. For example, I'll just use the example of the Gemara. When a person says, I will wake up early in the morning to learn of a certain mesechta. So what do you mean? I have to learn anyway. The Torah already said I have to learn as much as I can. So when I take upon myself to do that, I'm not doing anything the Torah didn't. The Torah already put that. Okay, but that's the chumrah of nedarim, that nedarim I could motivate myself even on a mitzvah. Okay, but that's not really the focus of why we're quoting this. It's the next line. The next line is, the chomer b'shvuas, and shvuas also has chomers. In what sense? Sha'shvuas chalois al dover sheyesh by mamish v'she'ein by mamish. A shvua works on tangibles and not tangibles. Masha'ein kein b'nedarim. A neder doesn't work on something that is not tangible. Neder only works on an item, which is the way we've always been talking till now. When I have my various item, I always use my Gemara as an example. I say my Gemara should be like hektish. So what I did is I took my item and I made it into an isser. I created an isser on an object, as opposed to talking or walking or work or whatever you want to say. It's not an item, it's an action. An action is not something that you could make a neder on. So, okay, that's the second brisa, which now therefore creates a contradiction to our Mishnah, because the way the Gemara's Havamina was and how to understand this Mishnah is that the Mishnah is saying that I want the talking to be Aser. I want the walking or the doing to be Aser. And therefore, if this is supposed to be a neder, how in the world is this a neder? You can't make a neder on talking. Talking is not tangible. So how is there a neder? So the Gemara's answer is, and hopefully this is consistent with what we said before when we read the Mishnah, the Gemara answer is like this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ba'oimer yesar pi lidiburi. What I meant to say is I'm not answering the talking. What I'm answering is my mouth from talking. Or yodai limaseyem. My hands from doing the object. So I'm now putting the isser on an object. I'm putting the isser on my hands. Or ragli lihiluchon. And my feet from doing the walking. So that is tangible. All those examples are very basic tangible items. My mouth, my feet, my hands. Those are tangible. So therefore, I could make a neder, and that's not going to be a problem. Now, the nafkamina, the outcome is, therefore, I can't do the work. Or therefore, I can't talk. But the isser is on the object. The isser is on the mouth. Dekanami, diktani, pi medaber imcho. In the Mishnah, if you read the words of the Mishnah, which again is how we read it in the first place, pi medaber imcho, my mouth from talking with you. V'loi ketani sha'ani medaber imcho. It doesn't say that I'm going to talk. So I wasn't making the neder on my talking. I was making the neder on my mouth. And therefore, that's a tangible item that I could make a neder on, and it could, and therefore it's going to be awesome. Hajar aloch kol kinui, that concludes for us the first parak. Okay, so let's start Mazdov, right. Let's start now the second parak. And the second parak is, in some respects, very much a continuation of what we just learned till now. The second parak says, Ve'elu mutarin. The following examples of a neder are going to be mutar. Now the Ran immediately points out that the reason why we're saying mutarin, after we just went through a whole parak and a list of things that are usur, so now we're going to say it's mutar. Not that this so much as a chiddush per se. It's just in contrast and contrary to what we've been saying till now. So we're going to say these examples also. Chulin chalichalacha. If I'm going to feed you chulin. Now, as it turns out, and we'll see in the Gemara, two explanations why the Mishnah uses this example of chulin, because of course, this case is actually a very simple case that it's mutter, because There's no Isser involved here whatsoever. So we'll have to see in the Gemara why the Gemara uses this example. Okay, but at the end of the day, it's a case that it's mutter. Then the Mishnah continues. Kabasar chazir, which translated means the a pig, the meat of a pig. Ka'avoydah zara, like avoydah zara. Now we'll explain why the Mishnah goes through all these various examples. Ka'iris levuvin, which is the heart. Ka'iris is the skins, but it means the skin, the heart of the skin, or the skin of the heart, which what they used to do is they had a practice where they would actually cut the animal slightly open, stick their hand into the animal, and literally yank out the heart of the animal as a carbon for Avodah Zarah. They would give the pumping heart to the Avodah Zarah itself. Kinevelois, if I want to make my neder, they're comparing it to something that's already in Nevela. So our Girsa and our Gemara is Vitrefois, but as we'll see, the Ran does not have the Girsa of Vitrefo. He doesn't, because the way the Ran understands each one of the Chidushim of why we list all these various examples, Trefa doesn't really add so much of a Chidush, comparatively speaking. But it's not uncommon very often that in Masechtos Chulin, where we're differentiating between a Nevela and a Trefa, we wouldn't, so to speak, put them together. But in other Masechtos and Shas, we put Nevelas and Trefas together all the time. We just, it's that same similar type of Isser, so we put them together even, so it's not unusual for the Mishnah to say Nevelas and Trefas, even though the example of Trefa is not a Chiddush per se. Kishkasim v'ramosim, little animals on the ground that are tame. Kichalas aroin. Now we also actually quoted this line earlier in the Mishnah. Kichalas aroin, the chala that you donate to a kohen. Aron just means a kohen in general. What do I mean? Some, you know, as when you bake 5 pounds of flour, we do hafrashas chala. So that chala that we're talking about over here is intrinsically usur. And donating any truma to a kohen mutter, in all those cases, it's going to be mutter. Because these are your classic examples of making a neder bedavar ha'usur, that it's already a davar usur. Okay, as opposed to a davar nadur, as opposed to something that I made into a nether or somebody created into a nether. These are all considered davar ha'asr. So let's go through each one of these examples to see what the chiddush is. So let's start again. Chulin. Chulin is its own case because it's totally mutter. We'll discuss in the Gemara in a moment why that is, why the Mishnah brings that case. But Basar Chazir is your classic example of something that's asr min ha'Torah to eat. So it's dafka eating. Avodah Zarah, the reason why the Mishnah then jumps to the case of Avodah Zarah is because there's an extra element of Isser. Not only is it Usser, but it's also Usser Bahano. So you might think that, oh, maybe it's Isser, that extra element of Isser, I want to create something that's Usser, I can make my neder on Avodah Zarah, which is Usser. Again, all these, ultimately, the Mishnah is telling us they're not, because they're Davar Usser, and all these extra, so to speak, extra Chidushim are not enough to make it into a neder. Now, Aris Levuvin is one step further, because there's a very interesting point. We're not learning Masechtos Avodah Zarah now, but just to know background, is that Avodah Zarah, the person, certainly by a guy who created the Avodah Zarah, can uncreate the Avodah Zarah. They could be mevatalit, because today they want to serve this rock as an Avodah Zarah, and tomorrow they said, nah, the rock doesn't have the powers that I thought it had. I think it's not Avodah Zarah. So there is a concept of undoing the Isser Avodah Zarah. A guy could do that. But Eris Levuvin is the takroives Avodah Zarah, is the sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah that never has bittul. Even the person bringing the sacrifice, after he brings it as a sacrifice, can't undo it and say, oh, I didn't mean it anymore. That will remain usur forever. So again, that's the chiddush of that case. Nevela adds the chiddush of Nevela is that it adds a level of tumah. And therefore, and again, Trefa doesn't have tumah, but Nevela has tumah. And Shkotim Ramasim added an extra layer of tumah, because they're even tumah in a smaller shear, which means their tumah is more intense. And again, all these reasons are not reasons to make this into a neder, and ultimately they're all davar ha'asr. Now, we get to the example of challah. Chala, so now this is the first time where you start to think to yourself, what do you mean? This is only chala because I did the hafrashas chala. I separated it. I made it into chala. So the Ran explains that it's true that I did the act of making it into chala. But once I make it into chala, what creates the iser? It's not because of my action. It's because the Torah says that is iser. And the proof to that is, the proof is that it's mutter to a kohen and usher to a zar. Now, when you did the separation, when you separated it out, you didn't say, I want to make this usher to everybody besides kohanim. You didn't make that iser. The only reason why it's usher in the way it's usher is because the Torah differentiated and says a kohen can eat it, but a zar can't. So that proves that it's the Torah that created the iser, not you. Now, I know that you made it the action and you decided which piece it's going to be, but at the end of the day, the type of iser that applies to it is the type of iser that only the Torah can create and not a person. And lastly, truma is the same thing. The truma is mutter to the kohen and also to a zar. Also, those are examples of something that could truma soy, as we learned earlier in the first parak, that truma soy was coming to include truma salishka, was coming to include other types of truma, and that's why we include these examples as well. Okay, so all of these are examples that really, in a nutshell, very simply, they're all, other than chulin, they're all not a good neder because it's a davar ha'asr. Now, the Mishnah concludes with one more line. The Mishnah says, "Ha'omer le'ishtoi, harei at alai ki'imo." So a person says to his wife, "I want you to be similar to me, like my mother." Now, your mother, of course, is somebody that's usher to have relations with. So therefore, it sounds like what the guy is saying: I want to make myself usher to you, my wife, like my mother. So what do you do in that situation? There you have to find an opening for him to undo the neder, so that a person shouldn't be a makel and start making nedar. Or, well, that's one explanation. So, but it's very interesting. Here, the truth of the matter is, the fact, okay, so there's a lot packed into this one line of the Mishnah. So, first of all, the Rishonim say that this is only true that when you're dealing with a wife, when you make the Isser on your wife, not when you make the Isser on any other random woman. But, okay, why? Because we want to maintain the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, the major problem with this halacha, so to speak, that needs to be explained and what's the point of the Mishnah, is that the Isser that a person has to their mother, once again, is a davar ha'asr. It's not something that he created. It's an Isser in the Torah. So if so, this neder that he was trying to put on his wife isn't really a good neder in the first place. It's not a neder at all. So it's maybe midrabbanan it's a neder. So the rabbanan. So really, it's not really a good neder. However, this is what the Mishnah says: shelo yiko roisha. We don't want a person to take these kinds of things lightly. So again, there's various explanations among the Rishonim exactly what level we're talking about. But the point is, we don't want a person making nedarim against their wife. Because it's common that a person gets angry at their wife, or a person just, the wife is the one around most of their life, whatever it is, for whatever reason it is, that a person tends to make nedarim that affect his wife the most. And we don't want that to happen. So therefore, that's the point, that even though this is totally, really, in essence, really a mutter neder, nothing really happened, because his mother is a davar aser, but still, because it's his wife, and the Rishonim, again, say is in various different ways, but the bottom line is, they say that what's going to happen is since he's constantly making nedarim and it's with his wife, we don't want him to accidentally make a real neder, and then it's going to be a problem. So to get him to avoid to do this is that even this neder, which is not a real neder, he's required to go to a rav to undo the neder. Okay, that's the point of the Mishnah. Even though it's not a real neder, in the context of your wife, still you're gonna have to go to a rav to undo it. Now, how do you do it? So again, there's many explanations to these words, but the bottom line is that there's two ways to undo a neder. Well, there's three really. If it's a husband, in general, a husband on his wife's neder could be made for, but that's not what we're discussing here, because the husband himself made the neder, not the wife. Okay, so you can be matir. You can be matir for two reasons: either a pesach or a charata. Charata means that I just feel bad that I made the nether. I really didn't want to make the nether. I feel bad, and I want to undo it just because I just lost patience for the nether. That's a charata. A pesach is that you find a reason why, that had I known the problems with this nether in the first place, I never would have made this nether in the first place. And therefore, Rav can say, well, if I never would have made the nether in the first place, fine, I'm matter it as if you never, so to speak, as if you never made the nether. Okay? So that's a Pesach. So by, again, the Mishnah is very specific that over here, you can't say charata. You can't say, I don't want to do this neder anymore. That's not an excuse in this context when you make a neder against the wife. It has to be a Pesach, and you can't use the Pesach because I insulted my mother by making the Pesach mimakam acher. It can't be because I insulted my mother because I compared my wife to my mother. That's not a good excuse. It has to be some other reason that you have to find, which you generally can, but some other reason that says that if I had known what this nether was going, how it was going to impact me, I never would have made the nether in the first place. Okay, so that's what's required of this Mishnah. But again, the point that we have to remember is, which is the point of the Mishnah, that even though this nether was never really chal in the first place, because the way he made the nether was on a davar aser, which we just spent the whole first half of the Mishnah saying davar aser is not chal. Still, because it's his wife and we don't want him to take those kind of things lightly because otherwise he's going to come to make a mistake in the future, we are going to require that he goes to a Rav to undo this nether. Okay, let's do the first few lines of the Gemara to finish the daf. Taima, the Gemara says like this, Taima da amar chulin sha'oichel lecha. It's because I said that it's chulin, that there's nothing else of it, that's why it's going to be mutter. Now, the problem is, ha'amar la'chulin sha'oichel, la'chulin sha'oichel lecha, but if I say, it's not chulin that I am giving you, mashma, so the way I would read it is, loy lechulin, it's not chulin lahave, el a carbon, it should be a carbon. Okay? So now, it's again, the example of our Mishnah was chulin, that it is chulin, which is nothing. But if I said lachulin, which would mean it's not chulin, then it would be aser. So if that's the deek that we make from the Mishnah. So the problem is, money must listen. Who would be the Tana of our Mishnah? E Reb Meir. Again, if you hold it's Reb Meir, halas le'im chal lava tashameh, hey, now I'm on the top of your dalet and alf. I'm just gonna do two lines over here. But Reb Meir, as we said many times already, Reb Meir doesn't hold of this idea that I reverse the negative and turn it into a positive. So you can't say la chulin, it's not chulin, and therefore it is a carbon. Reb Meir doesn't hold of that concept. So that can't be the diuk from our Mishnah, would not be consistent with Reb Meir, which would make our Mishnah not shitas Reb Meir. Because again, according to Reb Meir, we wouldn't make the diuk, it's not chulin, therefore it is kachin. I wouldn't make that kind of diuk. So why does the Mishnah say only because it's chulin that it's mutter? Even lai chulin would be, according to Reb Meir, would be mutter. Okay, so Ella, again, I'm just reading the first teretz of the Gemara, but Ella Reb Yehuda. So now you want to say, fine, if it's not Shita's Reb Meir, the one who argues on Reb Meir on this opinion is Reb Yehuda Shita. So hainu reisha. So then, if it's Reb Yehuda, then it's the reisha over here, by the way, doesn't mean any, since this is the first line of the Mishnah, it means the whole first parak. In the whole first parak, we already learned all these halachas that if it's loy chulin, it's not chulin, it is kachim, and therefore it's going to be also according to Reb Yehuda Shito. So we already learned this. So the Gemara's answer is, and we're going to, again, stop with this halacha, this line in the Gemara, Aidi diktani kibasar chazir kavay dezara, since we're already listing examples that are mutter, lahi gedani chulin. So we list this example of chulin also. But it's not meant, the point that the Gemara is trying to say is that it's not, there's no diik over here. The reason we're listing chulin is just because we want to start, so to speak, with an easy example of something that's totally mutter. Since this example is totally mutter, so then avay dezara and other things are going to be the, so to speak, the bigger chiddish. So we say the bigger chiddush, but it's not listed, it's not listing the case of chulin for the diik, for the way we pronounce it, or should I pronounce it like this, or should I pronounce it like that. That's not the point of this Mishnah, and don't start making diukim, because if you're going to make diukim, you're going to end up coming up with faulty conclusions, which is what the Gemara exactly is trying to avoid, at least in this teretz of the Gemara. And we'll stop over here. So the point is that, yes, it says chulin, and just read it as it is. It's listed there just to, so to speak, get things started. But it's not meant for the diukim that you could theoretically make from this Mishnah, from the way we pronounce it, and therefore conclude X, Y, and Z, because it's not meant for the diukim, and therefore it is what it is. It's chulin, and it's totally mutter. Okay, so we'll stop over here, which I know the Gemara Ravina is going to give another teretz. We'll pick up with Ravina Mirtz Hashem. next time.